Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Back from Houston after the Bills' loss, it's Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. We get rolling. 7 o'clock hour. Your phone calls, we can mix you in here with Sal. Talk with Chris Brown, the 8 o'clock hour. It's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe with you. Josh Schmidt producing, and Sal is here as well. Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Tough Sunday, early Monday. Man, tough one.
Tough one indeed. Before anything, let's do the injury report, the Barnes Firm injury report, as we got to keep an eye on a couple of different things here. It's brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. The biggest one to really watch, of course, was Josh Allen in this game, who took a really hard shot and looked like he smashed his head, went to the blue tent, ultimately came out. Sal, remind us all of how that process works. You know, we've seen, I liked to point out several times yesterday that there's the independent spotter, but this would this have been an independent spotter one, or how did it work, and how does it is it supposed to work?
I'm assuming it was because there was a red hat that, you know, went in the tent with him to check him out. Red hat is the independent neurologist, but he's not the one that's on the field spotting. He's the one that's getting relay information from the person up top spotting. So somebody up top says, hey, that was a hard hit. Sometimes what will happen is you won't even know there's an injury ahead. Remember Connor McGovern a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Where basically somebody will see something. They're always reviewing film. They're always reviewing tape. They're looking at plays. And they'll say, okay, like, you got to take that person into the tent. You got to check them out. Well, in this case, Josh was down for a while, so there was plenty of time for people to see what happened. Probably would have gone off the field anyway, you know, to get looked at because of the nature of him being down and the injury. Now, when he came off, he also said that he hurt his chest. It was he took a shot to his chest or something, but he was pointing to his chest, but he said that after the game. So that he probably would have went in the tent anyway, my guess is, but because of the head hitting so hard, somebody's relaying, hey, you got to go in the tent and check him out. Once he goes in there, there's a series of tests. I don't exactly specifically know what tests they give him while he's in there, but there's a series of tests that he either passes or fails, the player does at the time. And if they don't pass the test, then they can't come back out. If they do, they're allowed to come back out. And in this situation, what happened, obviously, was they get the ball back pretty quickly. Well, he's still in there. So now it's are we passing the test? Are we not? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching the tent and seeing how this is going. And literally, people are talking like, hey, we got the ball back. What's going on? And they weren't letting him out because he must have they were testing still. So obviously, after one play, he came out. So what's interesting to me is just how all that works, like the timeline, right? The timeline on all of that. But he was still in the tent and they were still testing him. And finally, he came out and obviously they cleared him. So he went back in the game. He was officially evaluated for a head injury. He did also say that he took a shot or something to his chest.
Right. Okay. So I guess that's the kind of thing where we watch and see if he's on the injury report this week for chest,
right,
or anything like that, or anything that would be residual from that hit. He was able to come back from it. It was scary. And you know,
yes,
I was thinking about Tua because Tua was also cleared to return, right, in that game. And that led to a league-wide investigation as to how that could happen and policies and never, you know, things get changed. So I think it's something we might all expect the NFL to have an eye on this week, even though he was cleared to return.
Sure. I mean, no doubt about it, but he's not in the concussion protocol now, or he wasn't after the game. Is it possible? I guess anything, you know, we've seen guys that's happened where like, wait a minute, he finished the game. But as of now, it doesn't seem like anything like that's the case. Josh did, you know, speak after the game. So guys get evaluated for head injuries sometimes. And if they're cleared, they're cleared. So, sure. I mean, I think that just because of the nature of who it is, and it's Josh Allen, we'll be watching. Now, remember, he's been dealing with the hand injury as well. He did not have his fingers taped yesterday. He did wear the glove, but he did not have his fingers taped. And now he'll, you know, possibly be dealing with this throughout the week. I think it's a larger we can get into this a little bit later, but I think that some of the things that are happening on offense are also leading to 2 weeks in a row, your quarterback laying down on the ground in pain and with an injury. We'll get into, but otherwise, injury report if you want to.
Yeah.
I don't recall anybody else from the Bills who came out of the game officially. You guys can remind me. I don't have anything on me right
not
here.
That I remember.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. No, that's right. Because I'm thinking that's obviously good news, right? That is the case. You know, some of the guys that we know, Taron Johnson did not play. You know, he was inactive. We know Terrell Bernard did play, had the interception. He was active. But for the Texans, they had several guys who did, including Nico Collins, who injured his hamstring on the long touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, so mostly everything was from the Texan side.
So, Sal, you said, like, big picture, how Allen is taking these hits. It might be a function of the offense. And listen, it's the NFL. Things change quickly. After week three, felt like Josh Allen was in total command of this offense. And that has changed a bit now because the opposition has presented the Bills with tougher tests, and they have flunked these tests. No Shakir yesterday. The passing offense is probably the worst it had been in Josh Allen's career outside of his rookie season.
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm thinking a lot about is 2 weeks in a row. Now, granted, one was a trick play, and it was busted. I understand that. But Josh was under a lot of pressure last week against the Baltimore Ravens. And he was under a lot of pressure again this week against the Texans. And that wasn't the case necessarily through three games. But I think what's happening here, guys, is because the wide receivers are having so much trouble separating, teams are going to play more man-to-man, and they're going to blitz more. And that's putting Josh Allen at risk.
Yep.
And that's what I think is now this is why it's becoming it's a multi-layered problem, because you have to find a way to have receivers separate, whether it's scheme, winning one-on-one, whatever. They're not separating enough. And teams like the Texans yesterday, look, they beat the Jags playing a lot of man-to-man. We were like, oh my God, you're going to play man-to-man? They just toasted them, right? Well, for whatever reason, it's a great matchup for the Bills. They did. Maybe this didn't have the corners, the secondary, whatever. The Bills did a nice job there. Well, for the last 2 weeks, the Ravens and the Texans. Now, the Ravens didn't play as much man-to-man, but these two teams basically said, we're not afraid of your wide receivers. We're going to man up on them, and that's going to free up our other guys to blitz, and Josh Allen's going to have to try and find somebody a lot quicker, and because you can't separate, you can't find somebody quicker, so now we're going to put pressure on him. He was running around all day yesterday. He was pressured all day yesterday, and he got hurt again. And to me, it's a larger issue of, if teams are going to continue to do this, it's continually going to lead to Josh Allen being in harm's way.
It's one thing Stroud did a couple times yesterday. He would just dump off and get the hot and get the blitz beaten. And what we're seeing with the Bills, Sal, it's not the first time we've thought of this, where protecting your quarterback is maybe more than just your offensive line, because
that's right.
They're sending all those guys on blitzes. Instead of worrying about him taking off and running, they're getting there so quickly he doesn't have time to. And it is a recipe for him to take a lot of hits this year if they don't find an answer for how to get somebody open in those spots.
No doubt. So I think that's something that you're just going to have to really take a hard look at. I mean, we've talked a lot about the receiver separation, and last week was okay. Like, they couldn't really do that. And then without Khalil Shakir, he doesn't have that extra guy who, quite frankly, has been pretty good at, you know, separating at certain areas of the field. He's not necessarily going downfield and doing it, but he's been able to, and Josh been able to find him. Well, no Khalil Shakir yesterday. That made it a little bit maybe even easier for the Texans to focus in on, okay, we're just going to, you know, go one-on-one with you guys. You're not going to beat us, and then we're going to trust that our guys are going to get home quick enough that when Josh looks up, there's no time for you to beat us, right? So, yes, this is, to me, a wide receiver issue, and it's leading to a keeping your elite quarterback healthy issue after these two games and what we've seen.
It also points to, Sal, I think that Khalil Shakir is, like, vital, right? Like, him, you pointed this out last week, that you kind of have two games without him, in that the Raven game, you even point out he didn't look the same, and then that was proven true because he obviously didn't play yesterday. So he's a very good player, I think, and I feel like they're very reliant on him right now being in the lineup until somebody else proves that they could be Allen's, you know, the guy he trusts in those quick spots where the ball's going to come out.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. And, like, I mean, I wrote my arrow up, arrow down as a stat. I don't know if you guys have gone through the stats. I know you've talked about the wide receiver lack of separation. I'm sure you have this morning. But one of the telling stats here is, I'll grab it for you here. Do you know how many times the receivers were targeted? Here we go.
18.
Four completions.
Yeah, 4 for 18.
Four for 18.
Yep.
The receivers were targeted 18 times. Four completions to wide receivers. I mean, it wasn't just them. Dalton Kincaid was 2 for 6, I think, on his targeted passes,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
For whatever reason. But I just think it's very telling right now of this offense and what needs to start changing and happening. I mean, I don't – look, they're 3-2. Internally, I'm sure they feel that, look, they've had a couple tough games. They went on the road. They're going to be okay. But I think after the last two games, in some capacity, whatever that is, however high, however far he wants to go with it, Brandon Bean and his staff are going to have to look and say, we can't have just this group for the rest of the year. Like, we have to figure something out here, right? And I don't know. I don't know what that answer is, though, guys, because I don't know if you can go out and afford a Davante Adams, if you even want to, and Amari Cooper, right, with the prices on that, whatever it is. I know that's the easy solution for fans, just say, go trade for one of these guys. Well, there's other teams that want him, too. I don't really know. There's financials involved with all of that. So I don't really know what that solution is, necessarily. I just know that with the current group they have, if you want to go the remaining, you know, what, 12 games, I think it's going to be very challenging to, you know, to be a lot better than it has been the last few. It might be better than it was the last couple of games. You get Khalil Shakir healthy, that's fine. I don't think you'll get to necessarily what Jacksonville was every week, you know, against Jacksonville, but you have to really evaluate that spot right now because of a lot of things.
Mike in Orchard Park is going to lead us off with Sal this segment. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, Sal. I'm not going to really waste time in recap what other callers have been talking about, you know, because it's just been the same stuff. But Sal, I agree with everything you're saying, man. I just feel Buffalo, we're in a rough spot right now. I have confidence in Sean McDermott and Bobby Batch to make in-game decisions, but where we're at on the offensive side of the ball, we're struggling. I feel when we're in 11 and 12 personnel, I feel we move the ball, we have good flow with James Cook, but then when we go, you know, in shotgun, spread them out, there's nothing there. So I don't know. I guess I'm concerned. I don't know if trading for someone is the right decision. I don't know. I'm just lost. With Samuel, I'm concerned. I feel like we're not giving him opportunities down the field, and I feel defenses are keying in at the line of scrimmage, and it's becoming difficult for us to move the ball down the field. Defenses do not respect us in our passing game, and I feel, you know, Buffalo, where we're at, we're not used to seeing that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just concerned as a Bills fan right now.
Thanks, Mike. On Samuel, Sal, I went and looked at highlights of him from last year, and it wasn't even his best year in the NFL. And granted, they're highlights, but the point is the plays he made last year look like exactly what this Bills offense needs. He's a fast downfield guy, gets open, makes catches, scores touchdowns, and is it turf toe that makes it so they feel they can't pass it to him? I mean, he did throw a ball to Samuel in the end zone late that was high and wide and incomplete.
The third down play also at the end where he couldn't get it there because he got hit was targeted to Samuel.
Like, is Samuel's turf toe a reasonable explanation here, or is this just a player that is lost in this offense right now?
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it would be, for me, like, if we knew that that was bothering him. He's not on the injury report, guys. He hasn't been since the regular season. I don't even week one, maybe. I don't even know if he was. I can't remember. I have to go back to that. So I guess you could have something like that that you just aren't getting treatment on because you're just naturally letting it heal. And if that's the case, you wouldn't be on the injury report. That's how an injury report works, by the way, which is if, in any capacity, if someone's getting some sort of treatment on something, you have to be listed. That's why you see guys and, oh, they're full with a shoulder. Well, what do you mean? They've been out there. Yeah, but, you know, you're getting treatment on it. Well, obviously, there's nothing going on there because they're not listing them. Anybody says, well, they just wouldn't do that. Look, I mean, they're listing everything these days. They have to. There's guys now all of a sudden popping up questionable with an illness the night before a game, like for Houston, who winds up playing. Right? You just can't do that. So if he's getting treatment on the toe, he's got to be listed. Is it possible? I don't know enough about turf toe. I will tell you, I know it's a very, very difficult injury for a wide receiver. It's very difficult. However, I don't know enough about, is it possible that it's just such a long-term thing that's a pain tolerance and dealing with it, you're not getting treatment, but it's still bothering you. That could be it, too. So that's number one. Number two is, I guess that's the only other explanation is, for some reason, he's, as you put it, lost in the offense, or Joe Brady. I find it hard to believe that Joe Brady hasn't figured out how to use him when Joe Brady's the guy that was in charge of the offense when he had his best season of his career, and he had who throwing to him? Not Josh Allen. That was who? Cam Newton and
Teddy Bridgewater.
P.J. Edwards?
Teddy Bridgewater was most of it.
Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. Thank you. Right? Like, I mean, like, that's... So it's hard for me to get to it's Joe Brady not getting him where he needs to be because of that. I have no other explanation other than, maybe the turf toe is just something that happens. It's just such a long-term thing. And it is I do know it is very tough for a wide receiver, that injury. We've seen it over the years.
Things are so bad in the passing game, Sal. Which individual player is the most concerning to you? I'll give you the nominees. Of course, there's Mac Hollins, who's getting way more of a role than anyone probably wanted him to get. There's Dalton Kincaid, who is not really producing at a level that I think many Bills fans thought he would. There's Dawson Knox, who you have to be reminded is still on the team, right? We've gone over Samuel. Coleman continues to make a play here and there, and he's a rookie, so I almost want to put him to the side in this conversation. MVS on the field for 25 snaps.
I think he's caught 2 of 10 targets on the year.
It's not one problem. You've got more problems than any receiving corps should ever have.
Looking now, 28 yesterday for MVS, 46% of the snaps. Tyrell Shavers, 16 snaps. Wide receiver snaps yesterday. I just tweeted them out, by the way, if anybody wants to go and check that out while we're talking here. Coleman led the way with 38, which is 62%. Him and Dalton Kincaid both for the exact same amount. All right, I'm not going to say concerning on Hollins because he just, it's circumstantial of why they're going to him, right? I mean, like, he's a guy that, I got to find somebody, right? It's all these guys that I'm trying to find somebody open. So it's not, what did I expect from Hollins? He's probably getting the targets that I expected him to get going into the year. I'm not concerned about Kincaid. I just think Dalton Kincaid's a really good player. And, he'll make some plays. They try to give him the seam ball down the field, Dawson Knox. Sure. I think it's concerning that you're paying him that much and you're not really using him in a way that's like more of a helping out your 12 personnel and dual threat. I'm just going to go back to Samuel. I just think that's it for me. It's not Coleman. It's just Curtis Samuel. This is also part of a larger issue of their free agent class, guys. They've received nothing from their free agent class. Curtis Samuel, MVS, Mike Edwards. Who else? Who else they signed in the offseason? Austin Johnson. Like, right, like the draft class is actually, to me, doing at least, when people always say they don't play rookies, they're playing rookies and it's going up and down. Cole Bishop was obviously, he had made a couple nice plays on the edge yesterday. He also got beat, obviously, for the touchdown and he missed a couple of tackles. You're going to have that. It's his first NFL start, but they're playing him. Keon Coleman, as you said, making a play here or there. Keon Coleman's exactly what he was in training camp, what I said he'd be, guys, which is, you're probably not going to get like the ton of volume, but you're going to make it a big play from him every week or two. And that's exactly what he's been. So draft class wise, not too concerned. Dwayne Carter looked great yesterday.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the free agent class has not produced. And those are the guys that you brought in to kind of supplement some of the guys that you let go for whatever reason. And to me, Curtis Samuel's at the top of that list.
Mike in Pennsylvania with Sal. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. You kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I had 2 points. One was Dwayne Carter looks like the next coming of Kyle Williams out there. I'm very impressed with that guy. From what I saw. And then at the end of the game, when we were pinned back, that is a huge ask to ask Josh Allen to go 96 yards when he's only completed, 9 passes all game. Would doing a penalty to make a 10-second runoff benefited us so that we would have not had Houston have some time on the clock to go down there and kick a field goal? Was that in play at all, ever?
They could decline that.
Houston declined the penalty on the Bills. That's what you're talking about, right?
No, he's saying, could the Bills have intentionally taken a penalty that would result in a runoff? And
Houston could decline it, yeah.
No. Here's the other thing. Hold on a second. To the caller. If the caller's still on. Weren't asking. I'm glad we got into it. I'm sure you guys have talked a lot about this. So I'll give you my perspective on the last part of the game. I think that one thing that's happening nationally or even locally, because this caller said it, the Bills weren't asking Josh Allen to go 96 yards. They weren't trying to score. They're trying to get a first down. They needed one first down. That's all it was. They were going to get a first down and kneel it. That's what they were going to do. Now, if they pop one up to the 40-yard line, then it's that changes the equation, obviously. They were trying to get a first down because the – so, I obviously, last night, you know, people are just roasting them and going all in on them because of the clock management. But every time I watch someone do it, I think they're focusing on the wrong thing, which is you're not going to score there. They're not looking to score. That was not about scoring. It's about getting a first down because the Texans had three timeouts. And as you guys, I'm sure, have rightly pointed out this morning – if you run the ball, they're going to call their timeouts anyway. Either way, the clock is stopping after every play, whether it's incomplete or it's a run for a timeout. The difference is that, you know, if you make it complete, it's also going to stop. So they were banking on, we think Josh Allen can get a first down by throwing the ball and give us a better chance to get a first down. Just one. It could happen on first down, it could happen on second down, or it could happen on third down. But if we throw the ball and get a first down, now they can't use all their timeouts. At some point, we can kneel this out now. But if you don't get a first down, they're getting the ball back in a punt. My issue is, and I agree they should have ran the ball, and Sean McDermott said afterwards
first down.
They should have ran the ball.
Run it and figure out right. Where we are. Is it second and six?
Yes.
Is it second and 10? Yes.
Well, I said I would run one and try to see if you pop something. If you don't, at least see where you are and evaluate from down to down. The issue I have with that, they should have run the ball because – while everything else is equal, I don't think it's nearly as egregious as a lot of people do because it is, like Sean said, it's either way. Like you got to figure out a way to get a first down. And I think you could make a solid argument. Is it, who do you want to have the ball in their hands to try and get a first down? Now, granted, it's the receivers, you know, that Josh is throwing to.
I might want Josh to
but
run.
But it's Josh Allen. Yeah, I know. That could have been one, too. Let me get to the reason why I would have preferred them to run is because at least then you make Houston use those timeouts.
Yes.
Because then when you punt, they have no time and have to either decide right then and there to kick a field goal, or they can't, but they at least cannot throw something to the middle of the field to gain a few yards.
Right. The reality is if Houston gets the ball back with one timeout or three timeouts, it's going to be the same ultimately.
That's exactly right.
So, okay, let's get to the play right before the field goal because people pointed out Dorian Williams came on the field late. The safeties were way back, like they were defending against a Hail Mary and not against a play that needed about 6 yards, 5 yards. What happened on the last play before the field goal?
Yeah, he came on late. And I know Rasul Douglas after the game had said they had 10 guys on the field. They didn't. They did at one point, and then Dorian Williams came on late. So I believe, guys, what happened was here that, and I think Sean talked about this a little bit, I was off to the back. I couldn't hear all his answers on his press conference. I think he was asked about this. But I believe what happened was that they were in nickel, not dime, and Williams would be off the field in dime, and it wasn't communicated correctly to him that they were in nickel early enough. So that means he goes back on the field. So he gets on late, and maybe there's a little miscommunication there. I don't know. But he was on the field. I think there was – Chris Brown told me there were 12 seconds left, I think, when he got out there, when him and I were talking about it after the game. I know you have Brownie on. You can ask him about that. I think he said there were 12 seconds still. That's plenty of time, though, guys, to start to get situated. But if you're not – if you're kind of thinking what's going on. And then as far as defending, you know, down the field, yeah, I mean, like, look, I know they only needed a few yards, but a few yards gets them still a 60-yarder, which you know he has a big leg, you know he can do it, but you're probably also thinking that they're going to maybe try to get a little bit further down the field than just a couple of yards to make it a little bit easier. So I think they're trying to defend that. Either way, obviously it didn't turn out. So look, I just going back, I know it's so easy just to for anyone to go so far, so go all in on this whole thing about being down at the goal line. I get it. I don't think it's nearly as egregious to do what they did. You're asking Josh Allen to try and get a first down and throwing the ball.
I think incomplete.
But but I do think they should have run it because when you play it out, when you just play it out, and I sat with this for a while. I thought about this a lot last night after the game, guys, and I wrote about it and I put it in my arrow up, arrow down column where you at least use them, make them use their timeouts and that. And then, Joe, I don't know what you're going to say here, but the actual play calls itself. Matt Bove did a Always Game Day in Buffalo last night. He did a one-off after the game. He said the play calls themselves. Now, I don't know which receiver was designed to go to. Probably Coleman it was there. But it doesn't have to be the guy that it's designed to on the play. The play could be Josh Allen has to choose a guy, too.
Yeah.
And we don't know that. But go ahead, Joe.
The second down play is where I really wonder what is the play call and who it's designed to go to. Because Allen is staring at Hollins the whole time and chucks it down the field. And I know you wouldn't have seen this, Sal, because it was on the broadcast. But the camera shows McDermott after the incompletion. And McDermott is agitated. And you can see what he's mouthing. He's basically mouthing, why aren't we going for the first down? We should be going for the first down. So
Allen's going for the win on that throw.
But right, I don't know why McDermott's agitated there. Is he agitated because Brady called a play to go to Hollins down the field, or is it because did Brady not want the ball to go 50 yards down the field and Allen was the one that decided to go for the home run? But either way,
after the game.
Go ahead.
After the game, Sean said he's got to be better there, and you can go replay the words, but he did say about him and Joe Brady talking about it after the game, right? So there's got to be better. Obviously, a lot of people are going to say, well, I can't believe, it's on Sean is the head coach. It's on him. There's no doubt about it. And he has the head coach. He can say, we're running the ball here. You better run the ball here. He could do that. But obviously, his words are telling me he's giving the freedom in that particular situation for Joe Brady to run the offense, to make the calls. So you're right, Joe. I mean, we don't know, but my guess is it's probably like, what are we doing here? We got to just call something that gets us a short completion and try to get a first down.
Right, the short completion. At the end of the day, okay, fine, you want to pass it. Do one of your little screens. Do one of your dump-offs to the back.
Find a little crosser or something.
The other thing that I will tell you, that the reason why I thought that they should have ran, I just thought Josh had been under so much pressure all night. You're risking a safety a lot more, and you're risking a holding penalty in your own end zone, which is a safety.
Which would have ended the game, right? Because they didn't have timeouts.
Yes, right.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
He's coming up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, your calls. We have an open segment. If you're with us, we'll get right to you on the other side. Thanks for being patient. Lots to say about this Bills loss on the Buffalo Bills. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.